Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. In last week's episode, we heard the story about how Chris Bynum found himself in an interrogation room on the day after the murders of Liz Ayers, Sheila Barty, Am Jeffers, Suzanne, and Angela Wallace. At least we heard the version of the story as presented by Detective Moxley. An anonymous tip was called into the police sometime shortly after the murders. We never learned who made the alleged call, what time it came in, or who took it. In fact, the situation is even worse than Nikki remembered. Her recollection was that the testimony came in at the trial, but it's even worse than that. In actuality, the first we ever hear about this alleged tip was years after the trial at a post-conviction hearing. It wasn't until the investigation was put under serious scrutiny that this tip story arose. It's not mentioned in the probable cause affidavit for the warrant for Chris's arrest. There's no report in the police file that mentions it. It wasn't mentioned at the trial. Nothing. That tip supposedly named three people that could be involved in the murders. Chris Bynum, a man named DeAndre McIntosh, who's known as Shaky, and a man named Terrell Jackson. So according to the police, this tip comes in sometime. Then, in the early morning on the 17th of February, we later hear from Larry Brooks himself that police told him, prior to his interview, that a man named Chris Bynum had already confessed to the murders. And to be crystal clear, the police had not yet located Bynum at that point. The next day, on February 18th, Chris's fiance and his toddler were picked up in a traffic stop and brought to the station. She helped the police locate Bynum, and he comes in to make a statement. From what we heard from Dr. Jackson last week, Shanita, Chris's fiance, was placed into an interrogation room for several hours while Chris himself was being interrogated. And just like with Larry and Willie, there's no recording of the interview. All we have is a 12-page transcript of what was supposedly said. Now, since Chris's first statement is only 12 pages long, I'm actually going to read it to you verbatim, the entire thing, rather than break it down into pieces. Now, for the sake of your sanity, I'm not going to name the speaker on every line. I'm just going to read the transcript, and you'll easily be able to tell when it's Chris speaking as opposed to Moxley. Now, the last thing that I want to note before I begin reading is an anomaly with the times on the transcript. As I read it, I want you to take note of how long it takes me. On the top of every page of the transcript is a timestamp. The first page where the interview begins is stamped 9:11 p.m. The last page is stamped 11:39 p.m., with progressive times in between. So according to the transcript, the 12 pages of interrogation lasted 2 hours and 28 minutes. I promise you, it's not going to take me that long to read it. Here's the statement. Quote, what is your name, age, address, telephone number, and social security number? Cleveland Christopher Bynum, 21, and he gives his personal information. Where and when were you born? Hammond, Indiana, and he gives his birthday. Are you married or single? How many dependent children do you have? Single, and I have 2 kids. Can you read and write the English language? Yeah. What's your occupation? Unemployed. Do you realize that this statement may be used in case of a trial? Yes. Why are you here in the investigation division of the Gary Police Department at this time? Because people got killed and my name was said. Would you please tell me, in your own words, just what happened in the early morning hours of February 17th? Myself and DeAndre McIntosh were riding and we went to the VFW and were drinking. We left the VFW, we went by Amp's house, and it was an argument, which was solved. Then we went to the liquor store on Lake Street and got beer and ran into Terrell. I forgot his last name. And we went back by Amp's house, myself, Terrell, and DeAndre. When we were, it was an argument. Terrell waved and started playing with the gun when he shot Amp in the head. I left out because I was about to leave when I heard more gunshots. I turned around and went back in when DeAndre, was standing there clicking the gun. It was empty. They left with the two other ladies, asked me to follow them. When I told them no, I went to the VFW and it was closing, so I just rode around and finished my beer. When I seen DeAndre walking, he told me that Terrell had the gun and that he had handled business. The only reason that I never told police is because I know what type of person he, DeAndre, is, and he would harm my family. And if I know him, he knows that I'm here. He still will try. That's it. What can you tell me about DeAndre McIntosh? He was my age. We grew up together. Sometime we would sit back and drink. I know he'd go back and forth out of town to different places, like Minnesota. I don't know exactly what part, but I know it to be Minnesota. That's the only place that I know of. Describe him. Brown skin, light medium brown complexion, maybe about 5'10", 5'11", slim. He think he's a real pretty boy. Does he have a nickname? Shaky. How did he get that name? As long as I knew him when I was in the 7th grade. Do you have a nickname? Chris, which is my middle name. Who is Amp? He's just a guy that lived in Etna. He's just cool with everybody. Older guy that stayed out there. How much older? He had to be somewhere around 28. He and my cousin, Jimmy Davis, I don't know his exact address. He stayed on 13th Place. It's on the east side of Etna. Did he and your cousin run together? No, they just grew up together. Who is Amp? I don't know his real name. We just always called him Amp. Where does he stay at? Between Clay and Etna Street? It's a white crib on the north side of 10th Avenue. Where did you run into Amp at? He was outside his house. When you went into his house, who all was there? Amp and four white females. Do you know who they are? I know who his wife was. I don't know what her exact name. She used to walk back and forth to the store. Can you describe her? White, heavy-set female. Who are the other three white females? I don't know all of them, but I know one name is Liz. Do you know Liz's full name? No, I just know Liz. Describe Liz. Short, maybe 5'4", white female. I knew she was a prostitute and she used drugs and I know she smoked weed, but I don't know any other right offhand. How did you and her meet? She used to walk down the street trying to prostitute herself. Did you ever use her? No, never. How long have you known her? I've been seeing her around since about 94. How did you and her actually meet? We were never formally introduced, but I knew who she was. Why did the argument occur? Because Terrell had been smoking embalming fluid, what they call water, just arguing. Who was arguing? Terrell, Amp, and Shaky. Why? Because he, Amp, told them not to disrespect his house. How did they disrespect his house? Cursing in front of his wife. Were they cussing his wife? They were just talking slang. How was it solved? It was solved because he, Amp, just told us that he didn't say anything about anyone. Saying what? Tell me about this. Amp told us that he hadn't said anything about anyone selling drugs or anything else. Who was supposed to be selling drugs? Chris. You? Yes. Do you sell drugs? No, seriously, I used to sell weed, but that was a long time ago, about 97. I stopped because I wound up trying to work for somebody else and got caught with 22 bags of cocaine when I was 17. Who went to the liquor store when everything was solved? Myself and DeAndre, Shaky. Did you get high? No, I drink Colt 45. When you went back to Amp's house, how did the argument start? They were just high. I'm not even sure how it actually started. Who was at the house at this time? It was Amp and the four females, and there was a child on the couch. How old was the child on the couch? I just knew he was a young child. If I had to say, I'd say around 5 or something like that. Why did Terrell wave and play with a gun? Because he was high. High on what? Weed and embalming fluid? What kind of gun did he have? a revolver. It was like black, it was dark, it was shotgun, snub-nosed. Why did Terrell shoot Amp in the head? I couldn't tell you what was going through his mind when he was doing it. Was Amp shot first? Yes. Who was shot next? I don't know, because I went outside when he shot him. Was Terrell provoked? No, that boy Amp isn't a threat to anybody. Who is Terrell? He once came to Gary, he started calling himself Brian. He about 5'11", dark brown skin, chipped tooth, and a fro with afro puffs. When Terrell shot Amp, what did you do? Went outside? When Terrell shot Amp, what did Shaky do? At first he was hollering at him, Terrell. When I went outside, I heard the gunshots. How many did you hear? About 4. Was there any screaming or anything? What did you hear? Just like a lot of hollering, like fussing type. Why did you leave out? Because I was scared. Why were you scared? Just everything that was going on. That ain't nothing you see every day. Why did you come back in? Because I heard the gunshots. When you came back in, what did you see? I seen 2 ladies laying on the floor. Were they alive? No. What 2 were shot? Amp's wife and the other lady that was already there. You stated that there was 4 females. When did the other 2 get there? They were there already. What then did the other 2 females, where were they when this went down? Standing in the living room? Do you know who they were? I knew Liz, I don't know the other girl. Have you ever seen her before? No. Can you describe her? I just remember she was white. When y'all got there, all 4 white females and Amp were already there? Right. When you came back in, 2 females were shot, 2 were standing in the living room doing what? Standing there, looking shocked. Did they say anything? They just kept saying, what are you guys going to do with us? And they kept saying, Terrell and Shaky, kept saying, ain't nothing going to happen to y'all. Anything else? That's all I heard. That's when everybody started coming out of the house. Who came out of the house? DeAndre, Terrell, Liz, and the other lady. What happened next? I was going to get in my car, and they were going to get in her car, and they asked me to follow them, and I told them no. Whose car was it? I'm not sure whose car they were in. It was one of the ladies. All 4 got in her car? Yes. What kind of car is it? It was like a light-colored car. I don't know exactly what kind of car it was. It was like a 2-door. How come you didn't follow them? Because I didn't have nothing to do with it. Do with what? With what had happened in the house. And I knew they weren't going to just go for no joyride. Why's that? Because they had just killed people inside the house, and their favorite thing to say was, leave no witnesses. And that's when I was scared too. Whose saying is that? Just about everybody say it. That's like the most common thing you hear. When the ladies got into the car, were they forced into it? It didn't look like it. I really couldn't tell because at that point I was trying to get away. Liz and them was going to the passenger side and Terrell was walking toward the other side of the car. I think Terrell was behind the wheel. Shaky or DeAndre was in the front. Is Shaky DeAndre? Yeah. We're going to take a quick break here for the ad and then we'll be right back. Hey everybody, Bob here. I'm interrupting this ad break to tell you how you can never have to hear another ad and take a huge step towards helping us continue our work all at the same time. As most of you know, I provide all investigative and advocacy services to the people and attorneys that we cover on the show completely free. Over the years, we provided hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of professional investigations to the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. And the reason that we're able to do that is in large part thanks to the support of listeners like you. Our Patreon community funds the overwhelming majority of our work, and I want to take this opportunity to ask and encourage you to join the club. The base level membership is just $5 a month. Now, while that's only a cup of coffee's worth out of your account, it makes all the difference in the world to us and the people that we work with. And for your $5 a month, you get a whole list of extra content, exclusive just for patrons. Every week, Janet, Zach, and I do an hour-long live stream just for our patrons. You also get an unedited video version of the Friday follow-up every week, a weekly pregame podcast that drops into your podcast feed. Patrons often get to participate in interviews that we do on the show, live days or weeks before the rest of the audience gets to hear them. And of course, the best part, all of our content is completely ad-free for our patrons at the $5 a month level. Patreon really is the only way that we're able to keep doing this work. And it would mean the absolute world to me, Zach, Janet, and Erica if you'd consider joining, if you're able to do so. Joining the Patreon community is super easy. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. Or you can go right to the episode description of this or any episode and just click the link. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support. And now I'll return you to your regularly scheduled ads. All right, continuing on with the transcript. Who was he standing over clicking the gun? One of the white ladies. Was she down? Yeah. Had she been shot? I believe so. Do you think they would have done something to you if you had followed them? Yeah. Are you afraid of them? Now I'm worried because I think that if they know that I said something, they would have something done to my family. Where did you see DeAndre walking at? On 13th Avenue, like right down past Aetna School, west of Aetna School. It was like right by Aetna School. I don't know the numbers. What did he mean when he said he handled business? When he first said it, I just kind of blew it off and I didn't want to talk about it, but I kind of thought that something had happened. What do you think happened? I know they got killed, but I don't know exactly what happened. When Terrell shot Amp, what was the light like? It was just like regular light in the room. It was a light on. When Terrell shot Amp, how close were you? I had been about 9-10 feet. Describe that scene. Just living room. Looked like a regular living room. The gun is pulled out, then what? Then he, Terrell, was talking with it. Then he fired. How was Amp shot? I just know he had it somewhere towards his face and the gun fired and Amp fell. Was Amp a threat to Terrell? No. Amp was shot for no reason? Yes. Did all these events take place in the city of Gary, County of Lake, State of Indiana? Yes. If you were asked these questions again, would your answers be the same? Yes. At the time of this incident, were you drunk, high, or sober? I was pretty much sober. At the time of this incident, was Shaky drunk, high, or sober? I don't know his situation, if he was drunk or not. At the time of this incident, was Terrell drunk, high, or sober? He was high, high on embalming fluid. Do you think they killed the other two females? Yeah. Do you think they killed the other two females in the baseball park? I'm not sure. Is there anything you'd like to add that I didn't ask of you? Yes, that my family be safe. I should have called the police and told them, but I didn't know what to do. I was just scared. I didn't know what was going to happen to me if I had said something. How do you feel now? Sick, because I'm going to go through all kinds of garbage for something I didn't have nothing to do with. At any time, did you have any contact with Liz? Yeah. Prior to the shootings? Yeah. Tell me about this. I seen her riding around earlier in the day, and she stopped me and asked me if I knew anybody with weed. That's it. What did you tell her? I told her no, that everybody was saying that it was dry. She was like, all right, and left. After that, did you have any other contact with Liz? No. Do you have Liz's number? No. Does she have your number? She has my pager number. What's your pager number? Gives his number. Have you had any other contact with Terrell and Shaky? Not with Terrell, but I talked to Shaky this morning. What did you talk about? He just told me that he had heard people saying my name and that the police was looking for me, and I know that I hadn't done anything, so I should just turn myself in. He said that to you? Yes. When you saw DeAndre walking, was he by himself? Yes. Did he say where Terrell and the other white ladies were? He just said Terrell dipped. He didn't say nothing about nothing else. What is dipped? It mean left. What time did you get to the VFW? Around 10-something? What time did you leave? It was after 1 a.m. When you went back there and they were closing, what time was this? Had to be close to 2 a.m.? When the argument first ensued at the house, was it about drugs being involved? No. Did you know that Terrell had a gun when they went into the house? Yes. Do you know if Terrell had shot anyone else before? No, I knew that he had a real bad temper. I knew him in Job Corps. When was this? In 97, Galanda, Illinois. What did he do to show you he had a temper? What happened was a fight had broke out, and it was Gary against Chicago, and I just came out the dorm, and he came up to me and was like, "What's up with you and your boys?" And I told him, I asked, "What is you talking about?" And he had a plastic piece of a garbage can, and he hit me in the head. That's how I got this scar on my head. Did Shaky give you the impression that he was a threat to you? Yeah. Why? Because of the way he is. You never know. He'll tell a person in a minute, "I'll kill you," and keep going. Do you know if he has killed before? I don't know if he's ever killed before, but he's just real threatening. It's a lot of people scared of him. Is there anything you'd like to add to this? That's about it. End quote. So there's our first story that we get from Chris. And for the record, if you weren't keeping track, it took me about 20 minutes to read that interview, compared to the 2 hours and 28 minutes listed in the timestamps. Now, while the transcript doesn't have a tape to back it up, Chris did sign it. The basics are this, and remember, the supposed tip implicated Chris, Shaky, and Terrell. Chris says that he got into an argument at the VFW with Shaky. Then they left the club and went to Amp's house. There was supposedly an argument at that point that Chris says was solved. Now, one thing that jumped out to me was how later in the interview, when he was asked who Amp supposedly said something about, Chris replied, "Chris." The officer clarifies that he's talking about himself. Think about that. Why would Chris reply to that question with "Chris"? He wouldn't. If he's truly just giving a real account of what actually happened, he would say, "Me." The only reason that I can think of for him to respond the way he did would be if he was reading off of notes. Just something to keep in mind. Anyway, as the story goes on, it sounds like there's an attempt to kind of match Willie and Larry's statements, more so Willie's. Remember, Willie told police the day before that this Chris person confronted Amp because of something Liz had said that Amp had supposedly said about Chris. And we get some version of that in this statement, not at the beginning, but kind of the second time through. But Chris says that that argument's between Amp and Shaky and it's resolved. They leave, go to the liquor store where they pick up Terrell, who has a gun and he's high. The group then returns to Amp's house, where things get kind of confusing. Amp is there with four women. Chris says he witnesses Terrell shoot Amp in the head, and then Chris walks out of the house. He then hears more shooting inside and he goes back in to find Terrell pulling the trigger on an empty gun. He says that Amp and the two women are down, and it's not until prompted about where the other two women were that he says they were also standing in the living room, just watching the murders happen, apparently. Then the two women get into their own car with Shaky and Terrell and drive away. I think you'll agree that not only does this story not match the evidence, for example, only two or four women being there, and instead of a mention of a screaming baby on the couch, Chris thinks that it's a 4 or 5 year old boy. There's also the fact that Liz and Sheila were actually killed before the attack at the house. But also, this story is completely nonsensical. Liz and Sheila are standing in the living room watching people get murdered and they make no attempt to run away. Terrell kills three people on the spot, but then for some reason decides to drive across town to kill the other two. I told you at the beginning of the season that this so-called confession has no basis in reality, and now you've heard it for yourself, word for word. And what I want to do next is not read to you Chris's second statement. Instead, I'm going to read to you what came next. Just a recap, hours after the murders, Amp's brother Willie gives his statement where he says Amp called him and said a guy named Chris had come to his house and threatened him with a gun. Doesn't say Chris Bynum, just Chris. Shortly after that, Larry, who had previously said that he didn't see anything and didn't recognize any voices, was brought in to give his own statement. We learned from him years later that he was told before that interview that a man named Chris Bynum had already confessed to the murders. All of that happened on the 17th. The next day, on the 18th, Bynum's fiance is taken into custody and is held while Chris gives, or at least signs, the statement that you just heard. In that statement, he says that he witnessed Amp, Angela, and Suzanne being murdered by Terrell, and that Terrell and Shaky left the house with Liz and Sheila. Chris is arrested after that and is held in police custody. Then, the next day, on the 19th, Shaky, DeAndre McIntosh, is brought in to give his own statement. What you're going to hear next is the transcript from Shaky's interview, right after a short break. This is the reading of the transcript of Shaky's police interview on the 19th. And again, I'm not going to name the speaker with every sentence. You'll be able to pick up on who's talking by the context. Here we go. Quote, what is your name, age, date of birth, and social security number? DeAndre McIntosh, 21. He gives his information. What is your current address and telephone number? He gives that information. Where were you born, city, state, or county, if not born in the United States? Gary, Indiana. Are you married or single, and do you have any dependent children? Single. Can you read and write the English language? Yes, sir. What's your current occupation? Unemployed. Have you been advised of your constitutional rights in accordance with the Miranda ruling, and do you understand your rights? Yes, sir. Do you realize that this statement may be used in case of a trial? Yeah. Where did this happen? Date and time? No answer. In your own words, tell me what happened. We were at the club, me and my friend named Cleveland Bynum. We were at the club and we got into it. And he pulled a gun in the club, a .38. And then we made amends at the bar. And so I asked him to take me home to my uncle's house. He said he had to make a stop first because he had a hit on his pager. And then we stopped at 10,000 at Ski House, Amp Ski House, before taking me home. And they had a heated argument. And a gun was pulled again. I got control of Chris, forced him to stay in the car and take me home. And he had a lady follow him, and they stopped in front of 1119 Benton Street to drop me off. And then they kept going down to Mrs. Walker's house. I think it's 1218 Benton. And I saw him get out of his car and get into their car and then pull off. Then I went into the house, called my aunt to come pick me up, and that was it. What club were you in? The VFW. Where? At Etna on Etna Street. When? 2 nights ago. Today's the 19th, so it's got to be the 17th. What time did you get there? We had been there probably around 10:30, 11. What time did you leave? At about 12, 12:15. Who'd you leave with? Chris, Cleveland Bynum. How'd you get there? To the club? In a car. His car. In his girlfriend's car. An escort. In whose girlfriend's car? Cleveland's girlfriend's car. Did you know her name? Shanita Walker. Does Cleveland have another name? Chris, what kind of car were you in? Ford Escort, 97-98 model, two-door, teal, green. Who's Ampski? Ampski, the guy that was killed in the neighborhood, the guy on the tent. I don't know his real name. The paper said Jeffries. What did you and Chris get into it about? Because he went to the restroom and I continued his pool game. He came out upset. And for that, Chris pulled a gun on you? Yep, because we got into a heated argument. When two people get into an argument and they'd be like, what the fuck you gonna do? What's up? That's when the gun came out. Is Chris always violent? When drinking? What does he drink? Hennessy. That night we were drinking Hennessy. How much did he drink? I had bought him 2 shots. He had bought his own. Had he been drinking before you got to the club? Yes, sir. What did you do before you got to the club? He had picked me up. He had just picked me up from 10th Avenue. What time was this? It had to be like 10:15, because he picked me up, we went straight to the club. Where'd he pick you up at? On the corner of 10th and Clay? Why there? Because that's where I got dropped off at. My cousin, Eric Faulkner, it's on Rhode Island, I don't know the house number. I don't know his house number. Describe the gun. Black revolver, brown handle, wood handle with tape on it, a little bit of black tape on it. How'd you and Chris make amends? He came and apologized at the bar. Who's your uncle and where does he live? Daniel Love, 22. He gives an address. You stated you stopped at 10,000. Where? 10th Ave. I don't know the exact number, but it's Ampski's house. Do you know what street it's near? It's near the first cross street you come to is Benton. Who had the heated argument? Ampski, Chris and it was a lady. I don't know her name. Can you describe her? She a female Caucasian. She's about 5'6", 5'7". She had long blonde hair. She was medium built. She had on a long coat. There was another lady out there too. She didn't say nothing. I was breaking up Chris and Amp from arguing, making him get in the car. Who pulled the gun? Chris Cleveland Bynum. When you forced Chris into the car, who drove? Chris. What kind of car were you all in at the time? The Ford Escort. Where'd you go from there? From Amsky's house to my uncle's house. What'd you do when you got to your uncle's house? Talk to my uncle about Amsky and Chris arguing and about Chris upping his gun in the club. Where did Chris go when he left you at your uncle's house? He went to Miss Walker's and pulled into the driveway and put Shanita's car into the driveway. Do you know who followed you and Chris? Not by name, but those are the ones who paged him. How do you know that? Because she said it in the car. What'd she say? Before we left Amp's house, he told him to follow him because they was the ones who beeped him for some work. What is for some work? Dope. What kind of dope? Rock cocaine. Did Amsky deal? He was a user. What did he use? Rock cocaine. When Chris pulled into Miss Walker's driveway, what did he do then? He walked and got into their car. What kind of car was that? It was a white car. How many doors? I don't remember. Do you know the make? No, sir, I can't tell you. Did Chris get into the front seat? Looked like he was getting in the back, so it had to be a two-door. Which way did he go when they left Miss Walker's house? When they pulled off, they took a right on 13th Avenue. Do you know who followed you and Chris to your uncle's house? It was two of the ladies from Amsky's house. Do you know who they were? Not by name, I don't know them. Can you describe them to me? That was the lady about 5'6", and she had blonde hair, female Caucasian. The other girl was a little taller, and she had like black hair or something, and she was kind of heavy set, white Caucasian female. Who lives at 1112 Benton Street? I don't know. Who is Miss Walker? Shanita's mom. Do you know her name? Miss Walker? Miss Sherelle Walker? If you're dropped off at one house and call your aunt to take you to another house, why didn't you get a ride to that house in the first place? Because Chris had a gun on him, carrying, and he was drunk. We had got into it and I didn't want him to take me home. If you knew Chris was that drunk and had a gun, why would you let him take you to your uncle's house after you had an argument? He made amends and my uncle's house ain't too far from the club and that's the closest relative I have in Etna. Do you know of Chris pulling a gun on anybody else before? No. Does he usually carry a gun? No. How does Chris make his money? I guess selling drugs. What kind? Cocaine, rock cocaine. Do you know if any of the females had caused trouble between Chris and Amsky? Yes, it was something, because Chris had grabbed one of the ladies and he told her to tell him in front of Amsky what Amp had said. What happened next? I broke it up and grabbed Chris and told Amp to go into the house, and Chris told the woman to follow us. About what time was this? Had to be around 12:40. Can you describe the female that he grabbed? The lady, the blonde hair lady, the lady with the blonde hair. Had you ever saw the ladies before? No. Who was at Amsky's house? It was only Amp in the yard. I seen his wife in the doorway. Did you go inside? No, sir. Did Chris go inside? No, sir. After being dropped off, did at any time you see Chris again that night? No, sir. When was the next time you saw Chris? He came over like about 7 that morning. Would this be the next day? Yeah, the 17th. What did he do or say? He just talked about how drunk he was and that he would holler at me when I woke up because I was still asleep. Where was this at? At my auntie's house. How were his clothes? He had still had his clothes on from the night before and then he had blood on his boots. And I asked him where did that come from, and he said he had been into a fight. But he didn't say who, and he said, I'll holler once you get up, I'll page you. Have you been honest with me? Yes, sir. Did all these events take place in the city of Gary, county of Lake, state of Indiana? Yes, sir. If you were asked these questions again, would your answers be the same? Yes, sir. Is there anything you'd like to add that I didn't ask you? No, sir. At the time of the first argument at Amp's house, what was the light like? Dark. When you saw Chris with the gun, how far away or how close were you? About like this, arm's reach? When Chris pulled the gun, who else besides you were there? Amp, Amsky, the two ladies, and Amsky's girl was in the doorway, and Chris. Do you know Amsky's girl name? No, sir. How do you feel about this incident? Feel sorry for Amp and his family. I'm upset that my name was involved in this case. When Amsky and Chris were arguing, did Amsky's girl start yelling also? She came to the door and asked what's going on, and Amp told her to shut the door and stay in the house. End quote. So Chris said Terrell and Shaky did it. Shaky's then arrested. Shaky says, nope, Chris had a gun, and I had him drop me off. Good enough for these detectives. Shaky has never tried for these murders, and Chris remained in custody. But Shaky was in the jail long enough for Chris to have some interaction with him before he was put back into the interrogation room to revise his statement the next day on the 20th. That's next week on Truth and Justice. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X at Truth Justice Pod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.